15. So turn your Bibles there. We'll pick up. Romans chapter 15. Just a real quick review of what we had covered last week. We saw that believing in Paul's doctrine did four things for you. First, that it brought joy. And we talked about the type of joy that we had was an eternal joy, not a joy that the world has, right? Because the joy that the world experiences is one of the flesh. It's temporary. It's fleeting. But our joy is a joy that is eternal because it's not resting upon the flesh. The second thing was it brought peace. And the reason why you can have peace is because, like I just said, our joy is eternal. It's not resting upon the flesh. It's resting in Christ. So we have peace knowing that what we hope for is resting in Christ. It is spiritual. It is not a physical thing. Physical being temporary, fleeting. It could go away at any time. We don't find our peace based upon the circumstances of our physical life, right? Circumstances can change all the time. And if you're looking for the circumstances of your life for peace, then you'll never find true happiness. You have to learn to look towards the Scripture, understand the doctrine that we have as members of the body of Christ, understand where your peace flows from, that it flows from Christ and what He's done for you and what He's made you, and then you walk in that, and that's where your peace comes from. That's why it doesn't come from the circumstances of your life. It doesn't come from the flesh, the things that you experience in this worldly life where there's always ups and downs and a roller coaster, right? It seems like emotions have you one way, tossed one way into another. But we have peace because our peace is a spiritual peace that comes from a place that will never change, and in Christ, where it will always be kept safe and sound. And then that brings hope, right? Because if you have joy and you have peace and you understand what Christ has given you, now you've got a hope. Can you imagine what it's like to live out in the world without no hope? That's one thing I think about a lot, right? When things maybe go wrong and maybe there's a family member who's sick physically or whatever it may be. And I just think about how difficult it is for the world to deal with their problems when they have no hope. But our hope is one, again, that's rested in Christ. So we know that we have peace and we have joy, knowing that it's not of ourselves. It's not something that we have to perform to get. It's a hope that comes from Christ, and therefore we know that it's eternal. And that hope is not just some measly little, shekel. Our hope is not some measly little gift, but rather our hope is life. And not just life, but life eternal. What greater hope can you have? And we talked about the power that comes from the gospel, which now saves us, coming through the Holy Ghost, working in our lives. So all of these things about Paul's doctrine, these things that bring into our lives, that's what we covered last week. This week, we're going to move on to verse 16. So if you have your Bibles, I ask you to open up to Romans 15 and look at verse number 16. Paul says, "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." So he says that I, notice that I, that's a singular, right? That's Paul, he's speaking about himself, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Paul is now building a contrast from what we saw in verse number 8. What did we see in verse number 8? Remember, we spent many weeks on verse number 8 where it says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God." So Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Paul now comes down a few verses later on after he's laying some groundwork for why he could even make this statement. And he says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. So before it was Jesus Christ to the circumcision. Now Paul says, I'm the minister of Jesus Christ and I'm going to the Gentiles. Is that the circumcision or is that the uncircumcision? That is the uncircumcision. There is no way that you could possibly try to twist the Scriptures to fit the Gentiles back into verse number 8 and to make the Gentiles part of the circumcision. No way. It's not possible. When you understand what the circumcision was, and we spent a lot of time going through it, you understand who Christ had a specific ministry to. So now for Paul to come down later and draw this contrast that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles is significant. He is now going to a different group of people, and as we've seen in other places, he has a different gospel, a different content that he's going to the whole world with. All right, I want you to notice the descriptions of his office. The descriptions of his office. It, right here in Romans 15 and verse 16, he says that he's the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. So he is the minister to the Gentiles. What is a minister? A minister is someone who performs a service by providing something that is needful, right? A minister ministers to someone. Does that make sense? We all know what it is to minister to something, right? A doctor or a pharmacist can administer, they can minister medicine to someone, something that's needful for them. And as a minister is someone who provides a service, who is providing something that is needful. Look, turn back to Romans chapter 11. So Paul is the minister to the Gentiles. In Romans 11 and verse number 13, it says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." So not only is he a minister of the Gentiles, but he is the apostle of the Gentiles, a minister to and an apostle of. So an apostle is one who is sent. An apostle has a message that he's sent out with. So an apostle is a sent one. And, you know, it's interesting. Who was the first person to know that Paul was an apostle? Well, back in Acts chapter 9, Ananias was the first one to find out that Paul was an apostle. Back in Acts 9, verse 15, it says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way." Remember, Ananias, he didn't want to go to Paul because Paul was the very one who was torturing the Christians, bringing them into to captivity, putting them in prison, locking them up, and killing them. And what a great contrast that you have the one who was the most fiercest persecutor of the believers to then be used by God and flipped into the one who is the choice vessel to bring grace unto the whole world. The most unlikely of all scenarios, right? But Ananias, he didn't want to go to Paul. I think Paul might kill me. I don't want to go up to that guy. He's going to either lock me in prison and then they're going to execute me. I don't want to go to him. But God said, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." So we find back in Acts chapter 9 that God had a plan to use Paul as a chosen vessel to send him out, as an apostle. We also know that Paul was a prisoner for the Gentiles. When I think about the descriptions that's used for what Paul was to accomplish, when you think about the fact that he was ministering something that was needful, he was sent out by God with this message to the Gentiles, to the uncircumcision, and Paul says, "I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." He was held captive. There was nothing else he could do but to take this message that he was sent with and to preach it. All right? So I want to take a little bit of a look. Turn over to Acts chapter 26. I want to look at the fact of that word minister. That Paul was a minister to the Gentiles. Go to Acts chapter 26. And I want you to see who made Paul a minister. Who was it that made Paul a minister? Acts chapter 26 and verse number 16. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." So Paul is now recounting the story about what happened. And he's telling what Christ did with him. And he's saying what Christ told him was, "Rise and stand upon thy feet." Remember, he was on the road down to Damascus. The light shone unto him. He dropped, and Christ says, "Rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." So here's the purpose for which he appeared unto Paul. There was a purpose. It wasn't just a random event. It wasn't just Christ appearing to him you know, wanting to save his soul and just to be counted one as a member of the body of Christ, he had a very specific purpose for Paul. He says, "For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen," so the things which he's now seeing, "and those things in the which I will appear unto thee." So remember how Paul said, "I receive revelations"? He was continuing to receive revelations. So Christ said that I have appeared unto thee to make thee a minister. And so we know who it was that made Paul a minister. It was directly by the revelation of Jesus Christ as he appeared to him. When was it that Paul was made a minister? Well, when did Christ appear to him and say these things? We have that record in Acts chapter 9, right? And God told Ananias in Acts 9:15, go there real quick, I just read it to you, but in Acts 9:15 it says, I'll give you a second to flip there. When was Paul made a minister? Acts chapter 9:15, "But the Lord said unto him," Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." So Ananias was to go up there, communicate certain things unto Paul, and now Paul, in the middle of the book of Acts, is going to be sent out. He's going to receive revelations and be sent out, become a minister of God. What was it that Paul was ministering, and for whom was he ministering? Well, turn back to Romans chapter 15 and our verse this morning. Romans 15:16. What was Paul ministering? Romans chapter 15 and verse 16. "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." Had there previously been a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles? Who were the 12 apostles a minister of? It said that the Lord Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, right? And when the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry trained the 12 apostles, did he train them to be ministers unto the Gentiles? No, he trained them with a very specific purpose. He trained them to be ministers of the circumcision. He trained them to preach the gospel of the kingdom, so that way they could have the earthly kingdom set up upon earth. Israel would get to go into her kingdom, and God would be able to bless the nation of Israel, set them up as a kingdom and a nation, a kingdom of priests who would be able to go out into the whole world and operate under that function that God had planned for them. But when Paul comes along and he says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, it's important to note that this is a change. This is a change. And when you read through the Bible as a dispensationalist, you see these changes. And for the world out there who's lost in confusion, they read through this and they just think that he's just another one of the apostles, right? He just fits right in with the rest of the group. It says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. So we know that who he was going to was different. Ministering the gospel of God. So he was ministering the gospel. A gospel. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. But for what purpose, Paul? Why are you doing this? "That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." Isn't that different? You remember the distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision in time past? You remember the distinction between a Jew and a Gentile and the hostility that they had? Could a Gentile be offered up as acceptable without coming through as part of God's program through Israel? The answer to that is no. But now Paul is going out and he's preaching a gospel directly to the Gentiles. He has an office as the apostle to the Gentiles. And he's preaching a message to them that is so that these Gentiles, that the offering up of them to God would be acceptable with this new message. This is a very significant verse. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. What was Paul ministering? He was ministering a gospel. For whom was he ministering? He was ministering for Christ to the Gentiles. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 21. We'll start in 21. And you, who's Paul talking to? Is he talking to the Jew or is he talking to the Gentile here? He's talking to the Gentiles here. He says, and you. Man, I just feel like I feel like I'm back in third grade in a classroom and the teacher is, you know, up at the board and he's the teacher's just looking at me and pointing right at me and saying, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Your mind was darkened. You weren't interested in the things of God. Yet now hath he reconciled. He's brought you close to God that you could have a relationship with him. In the body of his flesh, through what he did upon the cross, through death, to present you, remember, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's what he was sent to preach, right? Which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We see his purpose and what he was doing, his function. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. What was the purpose for which he was doing? That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable? Hey, I'm suffering in my flesh, but I'm fine with that. I'm doing it for his body's sake. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for the body of Christ. Verse 25, whereof I am made a minister. Now, you know, if somebody is listening to this on a recording and they think that statement about Paul being a minister to the Gentiles is just complete hogwash and that there is no difference, Paul's saying, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Paul's saying the reason that he was doing it, the reason I'm a minister was according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the very fact is that back in Acts chapter 9, when we said that nobody was going to the Gentiles, we said that there had not been an apostle to the Gentiles, but now there is. And Paul is sent to them, and he's sent with a message. And we see here that he was given this so that he could be a minister according to this dispensation, a new dispensing, a different set of rules, a different set of instructions that God has now handed out. And Paul has been the one who's been charged to take these instructions and go to the whole world. There's been a change. So the fact that Paul says back in Romans 15 that he would be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles is a very meaningful statement. And there's a lot that goes into the fact that he's the minister of the Gentiles. It had never happened before. There had never been an apostle of the Gentiles. There had never been someone who was sent with a revealed mystery to the Gentiles, this new dispensation which God has now revealed in the dispensation of grace through the apostle Paul. So a very significant statement that we find here in Romans 15, verse number 16. Okay. Now the fact is that Paul is the minister, the apostle of Jesus Christ to the circumcision. When I say that, I want to make sure that you understand that he is the one. Now there were other apostles, right, that were charged to send out in the New Testament time, but we could call them secondary apostles in the sense that Paul was the one who the message was committed unto, right? And they went and they charged faithful men to teach these things. And there was others who were sent out. But Paul is the apostle of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And James confirmed this back in Acts chapter 15. Go back to Acts chapter 15. One of my favorite chapters, as you know. Acts chapter 15, James confirmed the fact that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, not the 12. The 12 didn't have authority when it came to the uncircumcision. The 12 didn't have authority when it came to the Gentiles. He says in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 19, James, after the conclusion of, we won't go back into it again, in Acts 15, where they had to debate whether or not the Gentiles had to circumcise and keep the law in order to be saved. So now they're at the conclusion of the matter after they've done all the debating, and James says this, "Wherefore my sentence is," Acts 15, 19, "wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God." Now, maybe an innocuous statement, but for me, I look at that and say, the 12 were not going to exercise authority over the 12, were they? They said, we're not going to trouble them from among the Gentiles who have turned from God. We're not going to go out. We're not going to exercise authority over them. We're not going to do that. We're not going to trouble them. We're not going to trouble them. We will confine our ministry here to Jerusalem, Galatians 2, 7 through 9. And Paul, you go to the rest of the world, and we're not going to trouble them. They asked them to do a few things, right? Abstain from drinking blood and from sexual immorality, but we're not going to trouble them. We're not going to say that they have to circumcise and keep the law in order to be saved, because by the clear testimony of the Apostle Paul and what God had revealed to Peter in Acts chapter 10, they knew that it was not needful and that Paul had a different message for the Gentiles. So we know that Paul is the apostle unto the Gentiles. If the 12 apostles, I can think back to myself when I start learning some of these things about the Scripture and some of the distinctions, sometimes it was hard for me to believe, right? And I'd be like, so you're telling me that the 12 apostles weren't preaching to the Gentiles? You know, I can see the wheels running in my own mind. And the fact is that wouldn't James have known that he and the 12 were ministering to the Gentiles since Acts chapter 2? If you're an Acts 2 dispensationalist, it doesn't help you out. Because the fact is, they weren't ministering to the Gentiles. If they had been, James would have known that, would he not? Would he not? He would have known here in Acts 15 that they had been ministering to Acts chapter 2. And if there was any dissension, the 12 would have just stand up and been like, you know, if there was any dissension, no, you guys got it all wrong. We've been preaching to the Gentiles all along. We've been preaching this grace gospel, and it's great, and we don't have to keep the law, we don't have to be circumcised, but that's not what happened. They would have known. But the 12 did not minister to Gentiles from Acts 2 on. They never fulfilled the Great Commission in its totality. Only Peter ministered to Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 when forced to against his will by God. Israel was set aside. Paul was called by God from heaven to the Gentiles, not with the earthly kingdom gospel of the 12 apostles, but with the gospel of the cross, the preaching of the forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ by grace. The circumcision were confronted with the ministry of Paul, which had content that was contradictory to their own. So when we talk about what was it that he was ministering, they were confronted with different content. And James and Peter publicly shook hands with Paul, recognizing his apostleship to the Gentiles. It was publicly recognized by the 12 apostles, and that they would not go to the Gentiles in their ministry. And the majority of Christians today are either ignorant or willfully ignore the revelation given unto the Apostle Paul to be the minister to the Gentiles. They want to hang on to the Great Commission of the 12 to preach the kingdom, and they're completely ignorant of the greater commission given to the Apostle Paul. They do so at their own spiritual peril, and peril of them they come in contact with, right? Because if they're doing it to their own peril, and they're out there teaching this, they're teaching things that are contrary to what God is doing today, and it harms the body of Christ. We operate in confusion, and instead of unleashing the power of God's word and the doctrine taught by the revelation committed unto Paul to work in people's lives, it's held in abeyance, and it's hid under a bushel, right? Hide under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. You know, no. What they're doing is hiding God's light under a bushel today. The church, the body of Christ, is then robbed of its power to effectively minister for our risen Savior and instead specializes in the ministry of confusion. And there's work to be done today by ambassadors who know their position and know the message, because it's a rare breed. So I showed a couple of charts to you on the fact that, you know, just concluding this fact of who Paul was a minister to, the Gentiles, the fact that the 12 were not apostles to the Gentiles, that they publicly recognized his ministry. I showed you a chart last week that shows the references to the names of Peter and Paul in the book of Acts. And, you know, we can talk about the doctrine, but sometimes it's good to see a visual reference, right? When we say that the book of Acts is a transitionary book, we mean that it's transitioning from the ministry of the 12 apostles, represented by Peter, and it's transitioned to the ministry of Paul to the Gentiles. I am made a minister. I'm a minister of Jesus Christ unto the Gentiles. And if you look at this chart right here, you see over on that side begins with Acts chapter 1, okay? And these little tick marks down at the bottom are the chapters in Acts, from 1 to 28. The blue is the number of references to Peter in the book of Acts. You could see that towards the beginning, Peter's pretty central to what's going on, right? There's a lot of references to Peter about what's going on. There's a little dip in the middle in chapter 6 and 7 when we're dealing with Stephen, because Peter's not really mentioned much there. But you can see that it's very prominently dealing with Peter, right? But we say that Israel was cut off and that God turned to the Gentiles through the Apostle Paul. Well, wouldn't you happen to notice that once Peter is done, who now becomes prominent in the back? The yellow is the number of references to Paul, Saul, Paul. And you can see that once Israel's cut off, I said it last week, it's all Paul, wall to wall. I mean, it's focused upon Paul. You don't even see Peter come back into it, except for a few mentions in Acts chapter 15, a little blip on the map. Peter's gone. Israel's fallen. We don't have a record of Peter, the apostle to the Gentiles, going out and preaching the gospel of grace. It's not there. It's Paul. It's his ministry. And the book of Acts deals with that transition from the 12 to Paul. This next chart, think of that pie as all of the words in the Bible, okay? Every single word. And that yellow sliver up there in that first chart is the number of words in the Bible in Paul's epistles, plus the book of Acts, where Paul is ministering, okay? That's 8.5% of the words in the Bible are part of Paul's ministry. 8.5. This chart on the right, the yellow shows the number of references in the Bible to Gentiles. Now, if Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles, you would expect that his ministry would be predominantly to the Gentiles, right? Which it is. And you see that over half of the Bible's references to Gentiles are contained within Paul's 8% of the Bible. And what does that mean doctrinally? It means nothing, but it's a visual representation of the facts that we already know to be true, right? And you can just see it for your own eyes that Paul was the minister to the Gentiles. He was the apostle unto the Gentiles. If it was not a new dispensation, and if the 12 apostles had been dealing with the Gentiles all along, and if Jesus Christ came to minister to the Gentiles in Matthew chapter 1:1, like most of the church thinks today, then I submit to you, you wouldn't see this relationship over here on the right. Because there, you would see, it would be consistent with the one on the left, right? If Jesus Christ ministered to the Gentiles, and if the 12 did, then their book should be full of the Gentiles as well, right? But the fact is, it's not. Because Paul was sent to the Gentiles in the dispensation of grace, a very specific audience, a very specific minister, a very specific message. And I think we're supposed to end at 35 after, right? Is that right? Donut Sunday? 35 after? They didn't ring the last time, and I got in trouble. I kept you guys to like I kept you guys. That was like 45 after or something. I don't know. So look, we'll end right there, because the next thing I want to get into is the fact that it talks about Paul was ministering the gospel of God. So what is this gospel that he was ministering? So it doesn't really make sense to dive into that for a minute before we get to it next week. So let's go ahead and pray. We'll wrap up and have a good time in fellowship. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. We're thankful for your grace that you've poured out upon us, Lord. We're thankful that there were people throughout history, Lord, that were faithful to the message, Lord. We're thankful for the Apostle Paul and the things that he did to spread the gospel. And we're thankful for your word, the history that we have of it, Lord, the knowledge that we have of you and your love through what you did for us on Calvary's cross. We're thankful for these things. We love you and we praise you, and we're looking forward to the rest of the service today. In Christ's name, amen.